Greetings. This is Nigeria Anderson, and I have Pastor Waller on the line with me from Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church in Philly, the home of brotherly love. So I'm super excited for you to join me and spread some of that love over here. Spread some of the love.
Thank you.
So you have a new music group, a new label that you just started, Pastor. You know, I'm always super excited to talk to pastors who branch out into different avenues, you know, just develop the kingdom more and more. And that's so needed right now. And it is really my pleasure to speak to you. So please let us know a little more about your music group.
Well, thank you very much. We at Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church have a heart for young people and a heart for the music industry. And you probably know better than most, the industry has shifted in such a major way. Major labels are not around like they used to be. And so we started a label specifically to help younger people access the industry. We started a label to, what we like to say, bring the industry back to church.
Mm.
And so we wanted to sing Christian music that is thoroughly focused on the cross. And, you know, I grew up in a time when you would listen to gospel music for what you were going to sing on Sunday morning.
Right.
We've kind of gotten away from that. And I'm not totally mad at that, because the gospel music industry for a long time went back to the street to get people to come to church. And I celebrate that.
Right.
But at some point, we've got to have also music that we can sing in church.
Ooh.
So we started the label to bring back the big choir sound and to bring back, to fight the tendency of getting away from Jesus for the purpose of crossing over. That's why we started the label, and we're also helping young people understand that there's so many opportunities in the music industry besides singing on a stage.
Right.
So we're teaching people about the business and how the business has shifted. The days of John P. Key and James Cleveland and all of that. So we started that label, and our Fresh Anointing Choir is the millennial choir of our church. They are between the ages of 18 and 35, and we're excited because they are young people, but they're singing church music, doing it their way at a high level.
Right.
And so we're excited about it. They're up for Grammys and for in the running now for the Stellar Awards. And so we're excited about that. But what we're mostly excited about is that they've energized the millennial population in our church.
That's good.
So that's what that is.
Yeah. No, and that's good. And I'm glad you're doing that, because I feel like we are to instruct our youth in the Word of God. And then we don't,
mm-hmm.
and then they have all the worldly attachment, so to speak, in music. I'm gonna just stick to the music part, and they want to dance and they want to, you know, mimic. And then we're not producing something that they would
mm-hmm.
enjoy to mimic and praise God.
That's right.
Same manner. So that, kudos. And I mean, 18 to 35, that'll make you want to come to church. Because let me say, when I go out and interview young rappers or gospel performers, they're giving it their all, and it is truly all for Jesus, and you can feel
That's the right anointing.
And I like that your group is even named Fresh Anointing. You can feel the anointing, and you know it's authentic. No matter how they got their pants, or how they, you may think it's worldly, but it's not. And
that's
sometimes
right.
I'm confused about that. And Pastor, maybe you can help me. Why we're mm-hmm. always challenged with, you're trying to be like the world, or, you know, don't do this and don't do that. When sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, a lot of the worldly things is biblical perverted. I mean, just help me out.
That's exactly right. That, no, you're exactly right. You know, it all belonged to us first.
Come
and the
on
world
now.
Stole it.
Yeah.
Dancing belongs to us. Praise belongs to us. Parties belong to us. Mm. Celebration belongs to us. It got taken from us.
Say it.
And as you said, perverted. And so all we're trying to do is reclaim it.
Thank you.
You know, like Maxine Waters, I'm reclaiming my time.
Mm.
So we're getting all our stuff back.
That's
and,
right.
And so, you know, we celebrate all types of music. When you listen to music, whatever generation you listen to, there are some common themes from what we would call worldly themes and church themes.
Mm-hmm.
But that has always existed.
Right.
Amazing Grace was an old drinking song that when Isaac came to Christ, he then took an old drinking song and put Amazing Grace words to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he looked beyond my fault. Is an old Irish tune. tune, Old Danny Boy. And we could go on and on and on. You know, in fact, what most people don't realize, even about Yolanda Adams, Open Up My Heart, that's Major Harris, Love Won't Let Me Wait.
Right.
That is always.
I didn't want to say that, but that's right.
That's right. And so that has always existed. But we're taking, we're reclaiming the stuff that has been taken into the world, and we're reclaiming it for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
And so, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But also, in after the music, in church is where you learn how to live for God.
That's right.
And also how to live. And so in order to get people back, sometimes you got to go out and be in the world, but not of the world. And so that's what Paul meant when he said, I've become all things to all people. And so, you know, I'm not mad. I always said that I want to be the pastor of a church where the person who came to Christ at a Kirk Franklin concert, they got to go to church on Sunday morning, and I want to be that church.
Amen.
And so we want to live in the balance of that. And that's what we sought to do with the Enon Music Group. That's what we sought to do with being relevant in this age.
Man, well, you know what? Let's go right into pastoring in this season. And I like what you said, the balance, because there is a balance.
That's
and the Bible speaks highly about being balanced. And so with music and being taught, and I like what you said about youth need to go to church to learn how to live, because the word says he has given us life and life abundantly. And I think people get confused when they hear abundantly. They think money and wealth, but actually
that's
it's the quality of life.
That's
the
right.
Abundant quality of life. It's a full, God does everything whole. It's never just one thing. So pastoring in this season and being the church that you want the children and everybody to come to learn how to live upright and circumspectly. And let's bring the word of kryptonite to the Christians, holy. What's the temperature like for you pastoring in this season?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting that you say what's the temperature. I think the church has to recognize that we're facing a uphill battle because the church growth season is over. And some people in the culture feel duped by the church.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see if I can make it plain. I've been pastoring for almost 30 years.
Okay.
And so I was pastoring in the early 90s when all this stuff started, you know, Paul Morton and the Full Gospel and Bishop Jakes and many of us in each city, there was a church like my church. I started with 150 people coming on Sunday morning. Now we're at 15,000.
Wow.
And, you know, this happened all over the country.
Right.
And everybody was going on TV and everybody was going to conferences and getting prophetic words spoken over their life and being told what's about to happen. And 2007 hit. And the market crash that also ended the period that we associate with all this church growth. And then you look up and you see a lot of these mega churches in the many black communities, and the church is big and the community is getting worse. And people are looking at the church saying, well, you know, the last 25 years, we got some more rich preachers and some pretty nice buildings, but are our people any better?
Oh, my God.
That's from the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. Now, the truth is, some people are better, but the truth is also some people get tricked by false theology, by the prosperity gospel, by people who got rich on their backs, and now people are looking at us all as the same thing,
right?
And they're mad at us.
You're right.
And so there were some preachers that were preaching a false gospel, but there were also some preachers that were being real and meeting the needs of community.
Right.
But there's enough out there that has caused people to look at us now with a jaundiced eye. The way I think of it, it's much like the church right now is like baseball was right after the steroid scandal about 20 years ago. If you remember back when everybody was hitting home runs, Barry Bonds was hitting home runs, Sammy Sosa was hitting home runs, everybody was filling up the stadium. Then they realized they were cheating. And for 5 years after the steroid scandal, baseball attendance went down because the whole culture felt duped.
Right.
You know,
right.
We didn't question it while we saw it.
Right.
But then when we found out that they were cheating, we got mad. And so that's what has happened with the church. You know, we've watched a lot of these churches grow. We've watched a lot of good stuff happen. Then we found out some people were cheating.
Wow.
And because of that, now everybody's sort of mad. And so it's a challenging time.
You're
people
right.
are
yeah.
saying to the church, it's one thing to go get the unchurched. It's
mm-hmm.
another thing to get the out of church. The unchurched are people who've never been exposed, and they're saying, I don't know, prove it to me.
Right.
The
right.
out of church are people who were in here, got mad, saw something, and they left. That's a harder person to reach because
right.
they're saying, look, I done seen this before.
Right.
And I ain't trying to hear it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that the church's been around for 2,000 years. They've seen it like this before, and we're going to win again.
I believe that, too. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. We're just going to have to be real with it and acknowledge that some people legitimately have some concerns about the church, and we who love the church need to stand on the word of God, answer it, and show them that Jesus is real in spite of
That's
some
right.
of the stuff that has happened.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, what you mentioned, the prosperity part, and one of the things I enjoy when I hear a pastor, minister preach is the truth. Just give me the
mm-hmm.
word. People are hungry for
That's
the
right.
word. It was the word spoken that made additional 5,000 follow. It was the word that made the crowd come to end up only being fed through a miracle
That's
with
right.
the two fish and the five loaves. It was always the
That's
word.
Right.
And I think
it was the word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If we continue to drop the word seed form, that it will manifest itself in the hearts of the people. And
That's right.
Yeah. And stop with the tell your neighbor, turn around, jump five times. God gonna do it.
Right.
He did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's learn
yep.
who we are in Christ, and then let's apply it. And let's talk about heaven and hell. I'm not hearing that. We got to bring that back.
Mm-hmm.
There's some ministries, it's just some things as when I was growing up, you know, the heaven and hell sermons, they worked. I'm good. You know what I'm saying? They and yeah. I believe we need to hear them again. But I think sometimes maybe they don't know how to minister it, or they're afraid the people going to leave. But you know what? I think if when a true word goes forth and it hits the heart of a person, they may leave, but they're going to come back because salvation is for real.
Back.
And you can't
That's
panic
right.
if they leave. You know, you got to just know you're doing, as you mentioned, doing what God told you to do.
Yeah.
You know? And I agree. I think the church would be all right if we preach in the word, the unadulterated word of God. All right. So just having church for 5 minutes, get people to come back because it's all right. Church is all right. Church is a safe space. It's all right. Y'all can come on back. It's okay.
That's exactly right.
Speaking of that, safe space. I hear something. Talk about that. Church being a safe space, because we talked about when they erred. Let's talk about what people should expect, or that safe space. And even if they get a little church hurt, you know, let's talk about
right.
the safe space.
Well, the church has a safe space. I mean, this is supposed to be a space for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be a place where everyone can come and wrestle with their humanity.
Mm.
You know, and that's another issue. In the church, we've decided what sin we let in, what sin we don't let in, who's good, who's bad. And, you know, the Bible says all has sinned to come short of the glory of God.
Right.
Therefore, and the safe space is to come. There's room at the cross
Woo!
For all of us. And so we've got to make room for everyone to come and wrestle. We don't change what the Bible says. We don't change what the Bible calls sin. But we do say that everyone can come and wrestle with their stuff. And most of us, I'm 54 years old, I've had my wrestling matches. And I'm glad that I had a church where I could wrestle through to walk into my deliverance, my healing, and my best life.
Mm.
And so we've got to give everybody that room. And that's full. You know, a real church is going to have standards. A real church is going to have discipline. A real church is going to have grace and mercy and know, understand how to measure that. But it's going to be a place that's safe, that no one feels beat up. No
Right.
one feels lost, looked over, or left back.
And that's another thing. As a female, sometimes I'm going to church and I'm annoyed at every male that makes reference to a female thirsting after
yeah.
a male. If I hear another
yeah.
pastor, I'm glad my pastor don't do that, because, you know, I'd have had a pastor don't do that. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
just that, I get so offended. You know, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
so we're not going to address the men who left the household and left
yep,
the,
exactly.
the woman, you
okay.
know, with the children. We're not going to, the one who don't want to work. Like, men don't have no issue.
All the above.
Right. Right. And so maybe if you start addressing some of the male issues thank you, Jesus, balance it out. You know, women, we have our issues, but men have their issues. But that needs to be taught equally. Because then what the men do, I feel, they sitting in church. But then that's fellowshipping with something in them that's not correcting the behavior that led the woman to feel that way. Okay, I've always wanted to say that to a pastor. Not that you do that, just saying. But I like what you said. This is something that is necessary too. Teaching the standards, discipling the people who come to your church, and helping them understand that grace and mercy, the grace that we shouldn't even have, and the mercy is where we stand before God and seek His mercy. That's another point. Do you do that at your church? Do you, your standards? Because I would say if you have a standard, you don't need no boundaries because the standard created the boundary.
That's right. The standard is the word of God, and we hold each other accountable to
Yes, and that accountability.
We have our covenant, you know. We don't needlessly affirm the infirmities of others, you know, always looking for reconciliation, holding people accountable, and letting the transforming love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit do its work on every vessel.
Amen. Amen. And discipleship, what should churches do in that order of not the clique in the church being discipled, but when you get new members and, you know, you have some old members that still been going there 20 years, you don't even know their name, ain't said nothing. You don't even know, or you don't have no small groups and they're not discipled. So they come in and then, you know, I get mad when I hear people, you've been going to church 20 years and you still are saying, well, what did you do? Did you disciple them?
Discipleship is critical because being saved is one thing. Being mature in God is another thing. Receiving the Spirit unto salvation is one thing. Being filled with the Spirit of God is another thing. And so, you know, one of the real issues is that as our society has become less and less a Christian society, you can't assume that people understand what the Bible says and or means. And the average person doesn't understand what the Bible really says.
Right.
And because of our performance orientation in worship, if a person only comes to church on Sunday morning and never gets involved in the teaching ministry, you know, my sermons on Sunday morning, there's a statistic that suggests that if you join a church and only do Sunday morning, your spiritual growth will last for about 5 years in that place. And at the end of 5 years, you will get to a point where your soul requires more.
Wow.
And you either have to go deeper, or you'll find yourself beginning to blame that place and you'll start looking for another place. And then what lots of people do is they do 5 year cycles in different churches.
Wow.
But they never grow deeper because at a certain point, you'll need more than a Sunday morning sermon. A Sunday morning sermon, no matter how good it is, it still has an evangelistic focus.
Right.
And there's a teaching aspect that comes with the midweek service, Bible study, or so forth, that takes you deeper. And if you never get more involved in the life of your church than that, or get involved in ministry, you're not going to grow but so much.
I totally agree. I served in my church for years at music ministry, and I taught Sunday school to the youth, and I have a heart for youth as well.
Yep.
And I definitely agree with you. It one, helped me become more rooted and attached to my church.
Yep.
Also, it helped me to be more responsible to the Lord God, Jesus Christ, who I serve, because I always said it helped me gain a Joseph spirit. Like, I'm not doing that. That's against my God. I'm not doing that. But also to want to have a pure heart and the right spirit to minister to the youth to do the music ministry on Sunday and Wednesday when I went, and not be like, ooh, I was doing something. You know, it gave, here go the word, the conviction, you know. Some church is so much condemnation, but there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Help me out, Pastor, because I feel something coming. The difference between condemnation and conviction.
Very good, because conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Condemnation comes from the devil. The conviction will say, this is not of God. Let's go higher because we're better than this.
Yes.
Condemnation says, you did this because you're no good and God doesn't want you.
Mm.
That is not the message from God.
Right.
God loves us. God wants us.
And
God wants to pick us up out of the stuff. Condemnation says, you were stupid. You fail. You're unsaved. You're nasty. Conviction says, you're better than this. Get up. Right. Let's move on from here.
Jesus. And yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what the conviction, my relationship with the Holy Spirit was clicking and steady, because I understood that I'm better than doing anything outside of what I'm doing for my church. I don't need to be at the club. I need to be at Friday night prayer. I don't need to be doing anything else I shouldn't be doing. I need to be preparing for Sunday school's message. And it does put mm-hmm. you in a nice place of comfort. You know, I don't know. For me, it just put me in a place where, you know what? And it helps you to war against the devil. Can we talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about when you're worshiping and you're obedient to God, how you'll talk about how the warfare, it's rough, how you can get through it.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is the closer to God you get, the more the devil is going to get angry with you. It can be wrapped up in the higher the level, the greater the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to know that.
Right.
One of the greatest things that the tradition of Christianity through the African-American experience is that we don't wrestle. We don't ask why bad things happen to good people. That's a European question.
Mm-hmm.
The Africans understood bad things happen, but we are bigger than they.
Right. And I like that.
That's very important. You know, the question of evil is called the theodicy, mm-hmm. the defense of God's goodness in light of evil in the world. That's a theological discussion that comes out of the German seminaries. They're like, if God is so good, then why does all this bad stuff happen? Mm-hmm. That is not a African question. The Africans understood good and evil are in the world. The devil is real.
Right.
He's coming after us. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen.
So expect it. If mm-hmm. God blesses you today, expect an attack tomorrow. Mm. In fact, welcome it, because it's a validation of who you are in God.
Amen.
And keep it moving. Yeah.
I like that. All right. So you have a new Christmas CD now. Go tell it
yeah.
on the mountain. I like that.
So yeah, I'm excited about that. It's a project that I did myself, but I've got some wonderful people on it with me. Take Six, Mark Kibble and Take Six mm-hmm. on Go Tell It on the Mountain with me, and Gerald Albright, the Silent Night with me. It's more of a smooth jazz gospel experience, but Go Tell It on the Mountain was just released, and so I'm very excited about that, and I think people are going to appreciate it. It's an old standard with a new twist to it.
Okay.
So we look forward to that being played, yeah.
Okay. So do you write and produce? What's your background in music?
My undergrad was in music.
Okay.
In fact, before I went into ministry, I really thought that life and music would go another way. I grew up, me and Gerald LaVert used to sing together. I was in the original LaVert before his little brother Sean was old enough to be in it.
Okay.
We grew up together in Shaker Heights, Ohio. So me, Mark, and Gerald used to sing in high school, and I was 2 years older than Gerald. So when I went off to college, I was like, Mom, you know, our group is getting to be a little good. She said, well, you going to college. So when Bloodline came out and Casanova came out, I was mad at my mother.
Oh.
I was like, did you hear this music? And then when Gerald and Sean died, my mother said, now, aren't you glad I got you out of that?
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the reality is I always thought that I was going in that direction, but the right. Lord called me into ministry. My early ministry was minister of music. I shared, my undergrad is in music. I love music. He called me into pastoral ministry back in 1990. But I've always done music. I do write. I play. I enjoy doing it. And I'm not desiring to be an artist.
Okay.
I'm desiring to help artists, because the Lord helped me to understand I am to pastor people.
Okay.
And so my heart and my joy is in pastoring people. And periodically I get a chance to sing, and I do. So that's what this piece is.
Man, I'm excited for this outcome. I can feel it. I know something great's going to happen from the project simply because of your obedience. And I like how
Amen.
You said, I don't, you know, sing. I really, your goal and focus and assignment is to really help other artists. And if they
right.
never need no help, they really need it today. And so that's great. Tell us where your church is, your website, and how people could...
Well, thank you. I'm at Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You you can go to our website, enontab.org. And then, of course, EnonTab is our Facebook page. And then you can find me at Dr. Waller on Twitter. You can find me at Dr. Waller on Facebook. And we certainly hope. And then the Enon Music Group have a Facebook page. You can follow that page, or Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church, Dr. Alan E. Waller, or the Enon Music Group. And, of course, you can go to iTunes and get Go Tell on the Mountain. You can go to iTunes and get the Fresh Anointing Project. And we certainly hope that you will be supportive. I hope that you'll download the Go Tell on the Mountain and tell me what you think of that particular project. It's me, Big Six. I'm very appreciative to Mark Kibble for his involvement in this project. And so I look forward to hearing back from people. As the young folks say, follow me on Facebook, like me on Twitter. And we look forward to seeing you.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Waller. I really appreciate your time and you stopping by.
Thank you so much.
All right.